Good morning. For all those who may be tuning in or will tune in here in a moment, my name is Scott McFarland. I am the preaching minister at the Woodsfield Church of Christ. And certainly this week has brought a lot of unexpected changes in the way that we do things. I know you have probably already changed a lot of things about your daily schedule, work habits, going out and doing things, and have been listening to the news and the developments that have taken place over the last week in our state of Ohio and the nation. And at the Woodsfield Church of Christ, the elders have been watching that. They've decided, late last night, had decided that it's probably best that we stay at home today. And so we're experimenting with this. This is our first time doing Facebook Live, and so we're going to be adjusting and tweaking as we see possible. And we want to encourage you. The leadership met this morning, and we want to encourage you to please limit your time out, stay home this morning, and hopefully enjoy this time together with your family, with your loved ones in groups of 10 or less, and worship God in your homes. You know, it's interesting the way that this has all kind of developed, and really, I think, becoming more biblical as we try to seek to gather in homes. You know, Acts chapter 2 talks about the early disciples gathered from house to house. And typically in American culture, we're so used to coming into our nice building that's oddly empty today and gathering with our friends in a pew, and we have forgotten that that's not how it has traditionally been for the people of God. And so I see this as an incredible benefit. I want to share a couple things with you, kind of updates for the family here at the Woodsfield Church of Christ, where I minister. And if you're joining us from somewhere else, in cyberspace, states away, or maybe even just across town. These are updates just for the family, but would encourage you to listen in every week. We'll go live at 10 o'clock for the next couple Sundays. The elders have decided to shut down completely all facilities, any Bible studies or anything that we do here at the building, shut that down, obviously including today, but also for the 29th and the 5th of April as well. They will be meeting to reevaluate after the 5th what we want to do with the next Sunday, but that is this Sunday, the 29th and the 5th. All church services, all Bible studies in between are canceled. And so we want to encourage you to stay home. Please be with your families. Do what you have to do to take care of yourselves. In the meantime, here's a couple things that you can do, and we're going to be working to provide for our family here at the Woodsfield Church of Christ. We are getting together what I'm starting to call Bible study in a bag, and that's for folks that aren't able to get online and watch our video feed. It's a series of devotionals that'll take you week by week as a time during your Sunday morning Bible study if you wanted to do this in lieu of a video or also in addition to the video. We're going to be offering these Bible studies in a bag and communion supplies in a gallon Ziploc baggie. And we're hoping to have those available to you sometime this week. And we'll probably be putting a tote out front of the church building where the next 2 weeks of communion, the next 2 weeks of Bible studies for you are available to pick up. Would encourage anybody who knows of folks in our family who aren't able to get out and access this, that you might come by sometime during the day and pick up a few extra and distribute those among our family here. That's a resource for you if you're not able to get online. And I know, obviously, if you're online hearing this, you're online. But would encourage you to think of people who aren't able to do this. This will be done every Sunday at 10 o'clock, however, worship. I'll be streaming from the building at 10 a.m. And you can access this, by the way, whether or not you have a Facebook profile. You may not know this, but it doesn't require a Facebook profile to see this. It's very simple. Would encourage you to share with anybody this week that you know who may not have a Facebook profile how to access this Facebook video. You simply go into your internet web browser, Google Chrome, Internet Explorer, Firefox, whatever you use, and punch in a search, Woodsfield Church of Christ Facebook. If you're using Google, which I use Google, it's the first search result that comes up. Click on that link. It'll take you to the church Facebook page. And in that Facebook page, if you don't have a profile, of course, it'll ask you to sign up or join. You can ignore all that. You don't have to have a Facebook page to access this material. If you simply scroll through, you'll see everything that we post here is for public use and consumption without a Facebook profile. And so you should be able to see this Facebook video feed come up in the top of the content list as you're scrolling through. And anybody, regardless if you have a profile or not, can see this video. So I want to encourage you, please be looking out for folks this week who may not have access, may not know about this yet. It'll take a while for people to understand this. I also want to tell you just a minute here, a couple other quick items before we get into the sermon this morning, that we are working on getting our online giving up on our website. Obviously, this could last for a while. We don't know. And we still have to run the church here. We still have things to do, as you are going to have things to do in your own home, bills to pay and such. And so we're offering, it'll be accessible through the website, an online giving option. And as soon as we get that up, we'll make you aware of that. If you don't want to use an online giving option, that is by all means your choice. And we can always accept checks in the mail, of course, as anyone would. So I would encourage you to think about that and plan as you are planning many things, plan that as well. Also, we're going to be continuing to upload the bulletin every week for you online on the website. Everything's going online if you haven't noticed yet. And so we're trying to adapt as quickly as we can to all of these things. So hopefully that covers just a few items that you might be asking or wondering about as we go forward. And would encourage you to like and share this video as you see beneficial. And let's do this together. Let's pray before we go any further. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this time that we can share. Lord, we know that the times that we have to live in are uncertain, and we see that even more now than perhaps usual. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we try to adapt and overcome and change to face this situation that we see in our country unfolding. Father, we pray for wisdom, first and foremost, for the leaders of our country as they make decisions and our governments of state, that you'd help them to be wise, Lord, that we could best deal with this, Lord, to limit the spread of this outbreak and to protect the vulnerable in our communities. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as churches all over adapt to different styles of communication. Pray that you would help us to be able to reach more people, that this would be an opportunity for us to be able to share the message even more broadly than we have before. And I pray for a sense of peace among our people, Father, that you would help us to be witnesses of peace, the peace that you've already given us in your Son. And Lord, for me this morning, that you would communicate through me, even with the different way and the style that we're going about it this morning, that you'd help it to be effective, and that you would use this video, Lord, to help us to understand more about you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Well, if you're joining us this morning, I'm the pulpit minister here at the Woodsfield Church of Christ and just got done sharing a few things about our upcoming online services. We'd encourage you to check back at the beginning of this video if you haven't seen that yet. This video will be available even after it's done for everyone to see. You know, the times are challenging for us all, and all of us have been trying to figure out how we're going to do this and adapt and overcome some of the challenges that our country is facing. Ahead of us, as we see tighter and tighter restrictions being placed on businesses, on services that are being available or not available in our communities. One of the things that I have been thinking about this last week as I've watched and observed people is the increase in neighborliness. I like to watch people. Some of you who attend here know that. I've mentioned before my interest in observing people, and my interest this week has turned towards acts of neighborliness towards one another. And one of the positive things that I see coming out of this is the increased opportunities for us to reach out to our neighbors. And so this morning's lesson, I apologize, the screen wasn't cooperating for us this morning. We hope to get that up and running in the coming weeks. But the title of the lesson is Loving Your Neighbor Well. What's so interesting about this thought of loving your neighbor well is the reality that not all the time do we have positive experiences with our neighbors. Hopefully you have some neighbors across the road or down the street from you or somewhere close by that you consider to be friends. But sometimes living in close proximity to each other, as neighbors often do, lends some different challenges to communication and to relating with each other. Just a few months ago, my family went through an instance where this happened. My parents were telling me this story about taking down some trees in their yard. My parents, when I was young, planted a bunch of trees in our yard for a privacy fence. I remember this well, actually. I helped my dad plant these trees up and down the sides of our yard. He planted Leyland cypress. Don't know if you know what kind of a tree that is, but it's a great, fast-growing tree that you might use for a privacy fence. And these things grew humongous. I mean, by the time I graduated high school and went to college, I would say these trees were no less than 30 feet tall. And they did a great job at giving my parents what they wanted with some privacy. Until one day a few months ago, my dad was talking with a friend at work, and they were kind of going back and forth about trees. I don't know exactly how the conversation started, but they were talking about the trees that my dad had planted, and the person my dad happened to be talking to knew some things about these trees that my dad had planted, and my dad had mentioned that he had planted these Leyland cypress. And the man responded by saying, "Oh, you know those things die in like 30 years, right?" And my dad said, "No, actually, I didn't know that." The problem was that we were coming up at this point of the conversation on about 30 years, and my dad had already seen some of these trees starting to drop needles, some of the signs of decay already setting in, and my parents had planted about 50 of these trees. And so the concern now became, how am I going to get these trees down before they die and fall in the house? So my dad hired a tree company, and they came out. Not many tree companies wanted to take down 50 Leyland cypress trees, if you can imagine that or not. But they came out to the house and proceeded to take down these trees. And my mom happened to be home one day when these guys were going to town, and they were grinding the stumps out, and they were throwing the brush in the grinder and making a bunch of mess and noise. It was pretty spectacular, my mom said. Until our neighbor growing up, who had been there for years, runs out of the house screaming, yelling, and cursing at these men at the front yard as they're trying to take down these trees. Well, apparently, this neighbor had all this time thought that these trees were his. He had moved in after the time that these trees were planted and thought that they were his trees, that they were on his property. He was trying to tell these men, "These are my trees. What are you doing? Taking down my trees. I want these trees here." And my mom had to come out and explain to him that, "No, these are actually our trees. They're dying, and we didn't want them to fall in your house." And so being a good neighbor sometimes brings certain challenges with it of communication, of relating well. But having a great neighbor is a huge asset. Many of you probably know people down your street or down your road who you've related well with, and they've helped you in various times where you've needed something. We have great neighbors on our road, Mark and Marie. I remember when we first came to live in our house, we were out one day. It's been a few months since we'd moved in, and came back to the house, and we found a bag on the front porch. It was hanging on the doorknob, and it was a little bottle of maple syrup with a card and the neighbors' names on them, and inviting us, if we needed anything, to come by and ask. And that kicked off what has become a great relationship and a great friendship. But the question often comes when you deal with neighbors: who is my neighbor? Is it the person next door to me? Is it the person down the street? Is it the person in the next community over from me in the county that I live but not connected to me any other way? Who is my neighbor? There's a story in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus has this question asked of him. A lawyer comes up to him and is wanting to test him. And he asks this question: who is my neighbor? And Jesus proceeds to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. A man was robbed one day going on a trip, and then beaten and left for dead by the road. And as the story unfolds, several different people walk by this man who's laying dying on the side of the road, and nobody stops to help him until one man comes, a Samaritan. A Samaritan was a person that a Jewish man never would have been friends with at all. They didn't like each other. And yet this Samaritan man helps this person who's in need, takes him to an inn, takes care of him, makes sure that his needs are met and he's recovered, leaves money with the innkeeper to give him anything he wants. At the end of the story, Jesus asks this man, "Who then was the neighbor?" And the question, of course, is to say that this man was his neighbor, whether or not he was close to him or not. And I would suggest to you, as we go through this kind of ongoing crisis in our nation, that everyone is your neighbor. Everyone from the person down the street to the person across the way, to the person who comments and likes this video or shares it on their Facebook page, to your friends who you don't even know yet. It's funny how social media works, that it kind of makes our world a bit smaller in a way and allows us to reach more people and impact more people for good. And yet the question of who is my neighbor is also followed at times by how do I treat my neighbor? In Matthew 22, a similar scenario unfolds where Jesus is asked a question. A man comes up to him, another lawyer, by the way. Lawyers ask great questions, by the way. If you're a lawyer listening to this, I won't tell you any lawyer jokes. I did that a couple weeks ago here, but you didn't hear it. But this lawyer asks him a question, and he says, "What is the greatest command?" He's trying to trip up Jesus. There were literally hundreds of commands in the Old Testament that Jesus could have said, "Well, this is the greatest." But Jesus picks two commands. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength." But he doesn't stop there. He continues. And he says, "And love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commands, Jesus finishes, "Hang all the law and the prophets." Now, if you've been in church your whole life, that last phrase doesn't mean a whole lot to you because you've heard it probably a million times, but Jesus is saying something significant here, that hundreds of Old Testament laws that the Jewish people would have had to observe in their everyday life, hundreds of years worth of prophecy that they would have been taught from the time they were little all the way till their adulthood, all of these things depend on these two commandments: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple, and yet so complicated. And that second command, love your neighbor as yourself, sometimes is lost on us, because many of us know what it's like to love our neighbor, right? We do things for our neighbor. We bring them a pie. We send them a Christmas card. We stop and say hello at the mailbox when we get our mail, or we do these kinds of things and interact in small ways with them. And yet the last part of the phrase, as yourself, becomes so much more significant when we reflect on it, because the reality is that you and I sometimes don't love others the way that we love ourselves. We can be pretty selfish people sometimes if we're honest. Something I heard somebody say this week as we were talking about the ongoing crisis is their temptation has been to turn inward, to think about themselves. How am I going to get out and do what I need to do? How am I going to get the relief that I need and see the people that I need to see to maintain some sort of sanity in my life? And the reality is that crises like this can often cause us to turn inward and think about ourselves. And yet Jesus's command, love your neighbor as yourself, requires something greater of us as people of God. It requires me to make tough decisions sometimes. Decisions of how am I going to do this, and when I do this, how is it going to affect the person next to me, or the person across the road, or the person in my town or my community? How are these decisions that I'm making in my life loving my neighbor well? When we were, my wife and I like to rehab houses. It's become a hobby of ours. If you're friends with us, you know probably some of the stories. And when we were doing our last house, before we moved to where we are now, it was a complete gut job. I mean, studs down to the floor, everything. Everything got torn out and redone. One of the issues was the HVAC system. The air conditioning and the heating system needed to be upgraded. And so we went with a complete new system, new ductwork, installed a new furnace, a new air handler, the works. And in the process, the propane tank needed to be set. And we were kind of debating on how to set this propane tank. You know, nobody wants to walk out their front door or their side yard, and the first thing they look at is a propane tank. They're kind of ugly. They don't weather very well. They get rusty, dirty, nasty. So we tried to set this propane tank in an area where we wouldn't see it, in an area that my wife wouldn't see it or I wouldn't see it, looking out the kitchen window. And so we chose to put it, it was still on our property, but against our property line, kind of tucked behind a fence and behind a tree to where it wouldn't be noticeably visible when we went outside. Well, about a week after we set this propane tank, my neighbor down the road from us, or actually behind us, Jen, slipped a note under my door. And I found it the next day when I came in to work on the house, and it was simply, "Noticed you set your propane tank. Would you please move it so I don't see it every day going out my driveway?" And I have to be honest with you, the first response when I read that video or read that note was, "I'm not moving my propane tank." I purposely wanted to get it out of the way so I didn't see it. It's on my property still. It's not on his property at all. But then I started to think about something, how this neighbor goes in and out of his driveway every day. His house sits behind ours, and he has to drive beside our property to go back to his house. And every day coming in and out of his driveway, he would have seen this propane tank right there in front of him as he pulled in and out. And I started to think, you know, would I have wanted to see a propane tank on my drive in and out of my driveway, right beside my driveway? Probably not. And then I further thought a little bit about it, and I thought, well, maybe this is a good opportunity to start a good relationship with a neighbor. And so I chose to move that propane tank, even though it was all rights, by all rights, it was on our property. It was still well within the bounds of what we were able to do. In an effort to try to establish a good relationship with my neighbor, we chose to move that propane tank. And later on, our neighbor came over and we were talking about that. And he was so appreciative about us moving that tank, and it started a great relationship that we had together. You know, sometimes the things that we decide as people have consequences for other people as well. It doesn't just affect us. And what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is that sometimes to love your neighbor as yourself requires one extra step. It's not simply making a decision for yourself as much as it is making a decision with others in mind. And how does what I do affect other people? Mark 12 gives the parallel account to this story in Matthew 22, and I love how Mark ends the story. It's a shorter version, but he includes a phrase that no one else does. In Mark's version, after Jesus is done explaining, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the greatest commands." The lawyer agrees with him. And he says, "Yes, truly to love the Lord your God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." I want you to think about that for a second. Loving your neighbor is more important than worship itself. I know many of you probably are struggling with this new format. Especially if you are in an older generation, you have struggled with not coming to the building this morning and being at home. You feel like you're violating your conscience by not being present with God's people. Let me encourage you for a moment. First of all, God's people have never been confined to a building. In the New Testament, the letters were written to house churches scattered across regions and not limited to a particular location. Nobody had a building back then. They worshiped in homes. In many ways, what we're doing this morning is more biblical than we've ever been. And second is that sometimes what is required of me in loving my neighbor as myself means that I give up even something so important to me as worship with God's people together, because it's in their best interest not to do so. I don't know if you have noticed this in the news, but churches all over are canceling services, and some not soon enough. Last week, there was an instance where a church in Kentucky actually continued to meet despite the governor's request to cancel worship services, and it was later found that next week that someone in their assembly had coronavirus and had tested positive for it. And all of a sudden, now the whole church of 150 or more are asked to quarantine themselves for 10 days. You can imagine the impact that that had on the community, on the church, and the kind of relationship that makes things difficult with the community when the church is not thinking of their neighbors highly enough. And so this decision this morning to cancel was largely out of a concern for our community and our neighborhoods and the people that might have come in contact this morning with each other and trying to protect each other. Loving your neighbor as yourself requires an extra step. Sometimes it's about making ourselves a little bit more uncomfortable than we want to be. And yet, if we go to the Bible, we find that this is actually a biblical concept, that loving your neighbor as yourself is even more important than worship in a building, in a particular location, with the family that you're used to. What I want to do as we close this morning is offer a couple ways to love your neighbor well through this crisis. I already mentioned one. One is to stay home, not go anywhere. Don't infect other people. If you have any concerns, it's best to stay in, especially if you're 70 and older. This coronavirus has disproportionately affected those in that age bracket, 70 plus. It is 8 and 10 and 15 times more deadly, depending on which age in the 70 and over bracket you fall into. 8% more deadly, 15% more deadly than the flu, even, in those of the 70 to 80 and 80 plus brackets. And so especially if you're immunocompromised, elderly, stay home. And for those of us who are younger, let me say something to my generation, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. You know, we can treat this carelessly if we're not careful. And we can easily say, well, I don't have risk. I'm probably going to survive if I get it. What's the purpose of staying in? Why are we doing all this? But if I'm loving my neighbor well, if I'm thinking of others before myself, and if I realize that the steps that I take in my day-to-day activities also affect other people, I understand that while I may not suffer for this, I may be a carrier to someone else who would suffer greatly for this. And certainly we would never want somebody's hospital visit to be on our account, and most certainly we would never want somebody to experience a loss because of my carelessness. And so I would encourage you to please stay at home. Plan your trips, if you have to go out, carefully to minimize contact. Also, social distancing is not social isolation. There are still ways that we can contact each other, check in with each other. I would encourage you, if you have a neighbor down the road, to call, check in with people. This is a time when people are going to feel very lonely and feel like nobody's available to them. Call them. Get online, start a Facebook chat, a Zoom meeting, whatever you have to do to be in contact with each other. Just because things are shutting down doesn't mean that we need to shut down communication. In fact, I've seen communication elevated over the last week. And lastly, because I'm a dad with kids, I can relate to this. If you know of a young family in your community or your neighborhood, check in on them. You know, the schools are shutting down. The kids are now home 24/7. And it's only been a week or so. And lots of parents are starting to lose their minds. And they're starting to feel hopeless. If this lasts for a month, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to keep these kids wrangled for that long? They're getting restless already. And so if you know families like this, I would encourage you to check in on them. Send a card. Send something to do in the mail, a puzzle, a set of stickers, a little activity that they can do as a family, something to keep them occupied, knowing that maybe things are getting a little tense at home. And by the way, this isn't a personal request for a bunch of activities to be sent in the mail this week to my family, although I certainly fall in that age bracket. Let me close by saying this. There are a million different ways during these next few weeks and maybe months for us to reach out and impact people in a greater way than we've ever done it before. And if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, I would encourage you to open your eyes to the opportunities. Yes, things are tense. Yes, the world seems to be kind of losing its mind right now. And things are probably going to get worse in the States before we see any sort of end in sight. But I'd encourage you to be people of peace, to be concerned for your neighbors, and to use this as an outreach opportunity to share the love and the message of hope that we have in Christ Jesus. There's nothing better that I know of to share with people in an uncertain time than the certainty that we have and the hope that we have in a resurrection to come, in a coming world that will be no more tears, no more problems, and all of this will be done away with. And until that day, encouraging each other to keep going through life. And so I appreciate you joining me this morning. Thank you for coming. I'm the pulpit minister here at the Woodsfield Church of Christ, Scott McFarland. If you need anything, please contact our church. We are not closing everything. We still communicate throughout the week and would love to hear from you. Like and share this video if you found it helpful to you. And join us next week at 10 o'clock for our next worship Bible study together. Thank you.